just gets gooder and gooder.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's my understanding that Brian and Ellis helped on the music at a tent meeting up outside of Mendel. And so you pray for them as they minister music this evening. Brian was helping them yesterday. I hope you understand that God doesn't intend for us to just keep everything. He wants it to go out. And so we don't mind farming out some of our talent like that, because they bless us. And it's, we were designed to be a blessing to others, not just ourselves. And I appreciate them, their willingness to do that. August 5th, they have Back to School Water Day. That just sounds, yeah, it sounds fun. And it'll be at 2 o'clock. We'll meet here at 2 o'clock, August the 5th, for Back to School Water Day. Yeah, bring your ninja squirt guns. Don't bring one of those that'll cut a tree in two. You know, it's so powerful. I know. So I'm disappointed. That's all right. I'll bring a super soaker. I'll show y'all, all y'all. All right. Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews is a powerful book, and it deals with critically important issues. And in this passage that we're going to look at today, it deals with God's plan of discipline for His children. God's plan of discipline in His children. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 11 is just shown us the great hall of faith and all the people of faith down through history, key Bible characters who are real people just like us and were set apart because of their faith. Well, in chapter 12, it explains how a lot of that faith comes about. It doesn't just automatically happen. As a Christian, we learn to grow and develop. And discipline is a big part of that. Most adults here can remember being popped, spanked, paddled, switched, or whipped as children. I was raised by Yankees. Say, God bless you. Well, let me tell you what that meant. Mom and Daddy didn't know about switches. They didn't talk. I hear these stories some of you tell, and my blood just goes cold. You say you had to go out and get your own switch. If you brought one back and it wasn't good enough, you had to go get a good one, you know? Now, my mom and dad, their practice, their belief is whatever's handy is worth using. Now, I've told you before, when it was my mama, she scared me worse. And I've shared with you that I've been spanked with a bra, with a garter belt, anything mama could find. But the most terrorizing thing was one day, all mama had, she looked around. I knew I was going to get it. Crystal, she looked around and she reached down. The only thing she had, usually she used a sandal. Now, that popped you good. But she had a penny loafer on. She grabbed the penny loafer by the toe and began to wore me out. Ronald, I can still just about read the date in that little slip. And I've got to where I can't really look Lincoln in the eye anymore. And mama took that and wore me out. Did it work? Well, I'll let you be the judge of that. Some of you think it didn't take. But I can tell you, I didn't do what I got whooped for ever again. Because I kind of learned on that one. And I would love to tell you, see, you sit and laugh now because you're a cruel bunch anyway. But I'm talking about getting beat at the time and you're laughing, you know. And I get that. It's funny now, but it was not funny then. Now, I want you to think this through, though, and I'm not holding myself up as an example or anything like that, but I would like to think that in part, I'm the man I am today because Mom and Dad disciplined me then. And if you want to know what's wrong with a lot of kids today is a lack of discipline. Now, where did discipline come from? Well, guess who invented it? God did. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, if you do not discipline your child, you hate them. You think it's love and you want to be their buddy? Let me tell you something. Having worked with children for years, I can tell you this. I love children, especially barbecue. I love children. But they can be monsters. Now, I want you to think this through. You realize what our society has come to. Liberal thinkers tell us that discipline is restrictive and hinders our self-expression. I want you to know Daddy knew how to hinder my self-expression. That might be true if people were basically good and holy by nature, but people are not basically good. They're basically mean and evil. I want you to hear me. If a toddler could, they would beat you to death with a Fisher Price hammer when you tell them no. Am I telling the truth? If they got to do everything they wanted to do when they wanted it, I'm telling you the truth, everybody around would be scorched earth. But the problem is today you're seeing a lot of that in families because the kids are running the roost. Now, God has an answer for that. Now, this message isn't on spanking and correcting your children, though I think it's absolutely biblical, and there is a difference between abuse and discipline.
Amen.
But God doesn't have any problem taking us to the woodshed. None of us. Now, not many of us go to a woodshed. Now, I never went to a woodshed. Now, I hear tell of it. I never went to the woodshed. Mom and Dad thought that wherever it happened, that's where it needed to be taken care of. There were no long speeches. There was no counting. I did not learn how to count to 10 by listening to my mama trying to be patient before she killed me. I want you to know this. With God, His discipline is very unique. Very unique. Because you see, God doesn't spank the other guy's kids. He only spanks His own children. If you don't get corrected and spanked or disciplined by God, you know what that means? You're not one of His. So if you're here today and you don't understand, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, hopefully by the time I'm finished, you'll have a little bit of insight as far as what Scripture says about God's discipline. You see, God is the inventor and model of true and effective discipline. He has reserved discipline for just His children, and the Bible is addressed primarily to God's people. The book of Hebrews is addressed to God's people, and this passage on discipline is addressed to God's people. So I want you to look with me in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. It says, "For consider Him," speaking of Jesus, "that endured such contradiction of sinners." That means hostility against Himself from sinners. Look what happened to Jesus, how He was beat and everything happened to Him. He said, think about what Jesus went through. He said, "Lest you be wearied and faint or give up in your minds." Then He says in verse 4, as far as this race of living for God goes, He says, "You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." As a matter of fact, some people don't resist sin, they just go ahead and give in. In verse 5 He says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening or discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Now, anywhere you see chastening, just about you can inject discipline. And I'll do that as we read down through the rest of it. "For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and scourges or chastises every son whom He receives. If you endure discipline, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father disciplines not? But if you are without discipline, whereof all are partakers, then you're illegitimate," it says, "and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which disciplined us, corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily," speaking about earthly fathers, "for a few days disciplined us after their own pleasure, but He," meaning God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." Now, no discipline for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands and hang down, and the feeble knees. By the way, God was the first one, when administering a spanking, to say, move your hands. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you ended up with your hands blistered because you thought you were going to save your life? I had an eighth grade teacher, and he was as skinny as a rail. I mean, no joke. This dude, if he turned sideways, his goozle looked like it was going to come up and punch him in the face. He's so skinny. And he's like this big around. And we were chattering away. Eighth grade boys, chattering away. And he looked over at me and he said, Chip? And I went, whoop. Now, we were in Yankee land nearly. I was in the South, but almost Yankee land. We didn't say sir or nothing. I just said, yeah. That was the wrong answer. He said, it's time for you to be quiet. Do you want to do three dictionary pages, or would you like me to give you three licks? I was brassy. I wanted to show off. I thought, I did. I said, I will take the licks. And some of the kids that already had a paddling from him went, ooh. And I was so cool. What he did is, they weren't allowed to spank us in the classroom. Used to get them in front of the class, up through about sixth grade. But then they got dignified. So he had to take me into the teacher's lounge with the witness. And the first thing he did, first thing I thought, I'm good. Because I got a wallet and I got a comb. I had hair. And so I figured, I'm good. And so he says, take your wallet out of your pocket. I thought, there's one side gone. And he looked and goes, you got anything else in your pocket? What's that? I said, comb. He said, take it out. So I took him out. I laid him up there. He said, put your hands on the table. And I was still snickering. I was going, this is funny. That man hurt me. When he hit my behind, my up top lit up, and I thought, I have messed up. He lit me up, and then that was the first lick. He said, you ready? I said, before I could, the yes would come out, rawhide, and I mean, I howled, and the kids, I could hear them giggling in the classroom. They heard the lick. They heard me howl. Now I'm just going to tell you the physics of this. By then, all the nerves down there were numb or twitching or something already. You know how it goes, don't you, Hunter? Yeah, you the man. Come on, buddy. Yeah. And then so, lick number three comes, and what he does, he says, you read it, and I knew it was coming. And then he waited until I kind of relaxed, and woo! It's like a Pentecostal tent from a bad place in there. And so we go back to the classroom, right? I'm walking in like this, trying to act cool. And I remember when I got to my seat, he said, now sit down and be quiet. And I started to plop down. Bud, all I had to do was bend my leg. And it told me, you don't want to put nothing on that. And I remember easing in the chair. Like, Brenda, you're evil. The whole class was laughing like Brenda. I slid into the chair, and the chair slid into me. And I'll tell you what, though. You missed the hairs of the class, the rest of the year, I looked like a choir boy. I didn't want no more of that. And I'm thinking, that dictionary page looks pretty good. Yeah, true story. You can't make this stuff up. And I learned a little bit about discipline. But here's what happens. When you come to know the Lord, He doesn't use a paddle. He doesn't use a switch. He doesn't use a belt. He doesn't do any of that. Because God knows it's not necessary. What God does, He targets your heart and your mind. And when He disciplines you, You've got to understand that the Scripture has proofs of His woodshed. Sometimes it's in a garden. Ask Adam and Eve about that. Sometimes it's in a throne room. Ask David and Bathsheba. Sometimes it's by warming your hands by the fire of the wicked. Ask Peter when he was denying Jesus. And sometimes it's in the corner of our conscience that God spanks us. Now, here's what I mean by spanking or disciplining us. It's not all a lick on the bottom. Discipline is also sometimes where you have to make repetition. You have to go through it more than once. Amanda, I'm just going to ask you, any of your children hard-headed?
Yeah.
You just threw him under the bus. And you're holding, you're patting his leg like you love him the whole time. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you've ever watched The Miracle Worker, when the one with Patty Duke in it, and the teacher is teaching Helen Keller how to spell and how to use silverware because she'd been eating like an animal, and she's teaching her. She didn't just walk into the room and sign into her hand and said, "This is a spoon, use it." Oh no. Oh no. It took more than a day for her to teach her how to use the spoon. Everyone she put in her hand, she'd try to throw at it. She'd chuck it. And finally, the teacher just kept on. I'm here to tell you, when God disciplines you, it may take more than once. But guess what? God ain't going to give up. He's not going to change because He wants you to change and me to change. And sometimes what happens is, we learn our lesson. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. What does that mean? It's not a guarantee you're going to make your kids Christians, but they'll remember what they were taught. And somewhere down the line, it'll come back. But the word train indicates that they've come to a place where they're doing what they're supposed to do. And so discipline is when God trains you and me to do what we're supposed to do. And for some people, you know, in families, there are compliant children, and then there's the problem child. Guess which one I was? I was compliant. Yeah, I really was. Andy was sneaky. He was the one. He was the problem child. Mama never knew it. She couldn't see it. She had blinders on. You know, you've heard these stories. I'm so grateful for the grace of God that I didn't kill him when he was younger. But you have a compliant child, it seems all they have to be told is told one time. My daughter, Rachel, was very compliant. No, don't climb on that. She'd look at you. She'd scoot back down. And I thought the second one would be the same way. When Callie was born as a boy, he came into the world, and he was just like, dun, 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 dun. He instantly took to climbing. When he hit two, I can remember hearing a noise in the kitchen. 2 years old. I look and he was dragging stuff over to climb up. Yeah, I'd pull it all down, say, "Son, get down." And I wished I could tell you I just had to do that one time. Rachel was so easy. Just tell her, no, no, no. Kylie was like, "Well, that didn't work. Let me pull over something different." And he would just keep trying. I remember one day I was sitting in the living room, and they had, it was microwave popcorn was relatively new, and they had come out with this pouch that you could pour like butter or something over top of it. It was aluminum, kind of, you know, it was, you ripped it open, and you put it in hot water to heat it up and all that. And Kylie had decided, since it came in with the microwave popcorn, he's about 3 by now, that the best thing to do is just put the whole thing in the microwave. Well, I was in the living room. Here's what I heard. All of a sudden, I heard the microwave come on. And here's what I heard. I walk around the corner, and Kylie's standing there staring at it. It's throwing sparks off every time it did a loop around that gun. And it starts smoking. It was catching fire. And I run and I put it out. I go, "No, son, no." It wasn't a day later. He's trying to put something else in the microwave. But you know what? He finally learned not to do that. That's kind of the way I am with God sometimes. How about you? That He has to tell me more than one time. Some of his children, see, they got it all together, Diane. I watched them, and they're just carrying their Bibles, and they're just like, you know, little pictures on Sunday school literature, you know. And me, then there's me. And sometimes I struggle. Ron, did you ever say the wrong thing? Me too. And what God will do is he does nothing. He's just real quiet. And he gives me time to hear what I just said. And then I tell him I'm sorry. Other times when I'm not listening so well, it's as though he comes down and he thumps me on my head and says, "What did you do? I didn't touch her." "It'll be over," she said. I've learned. That's why, hey, by the way, the Apostle Paul said, "I have learned." But so what happens is with me, sometimes God ramps it up a little bit because he tried the quiet approach. He tried time out, as it were. I've told you before, time out in my house was Daddy slowing down to take a breath between licks. But God, he knows you. And as we read down through here, it tells us several things about this thing, this discipline of God. We're told that not only are there proofs of it in the Word of God, there's proofs in our own lives. You wouldn't know it by listening to some televangelist today. They try to teach you that everything bad that happens to us is of the devil, and God only brings pleasure and good to his children. Raise a child like that and see what happens. Raise a child giving them everything they want. See how they turn out. God doesn't do it either. I don't care how shiny their teeth are, how expensive their suits look on television. When they try to feed you that bilge, it's a lie. Don't believe it. The Bible says whom God loves, he disciplines. He doesn't give them everything they want when they want it. Sometimes he doesn't give it to them at all. You see, God's discipline is prompted by several things. How many in here has ever had to have an attitude adjustment? The rest of you better raise your hands. You need one right now. Someone has wisely said, and I shut it. One of these little kids said, "I do." Amen, buddy. You're going to go far. See, our attitudes bring discipline. I call this stinking thinking. It doesn't have to come out of your mouth for God to know what's going on in your head. Sometimes we need to apologize to God for what we've been thinking we're going to say, or we're going to do, or what we think about the way God's handling something. And what we do, our stinking thinking, and truly this is an accurate statement, you may want to write this down. It's not original with me, but you might want to write it down. Attitude equals altitude. Attitude equals altitude. How high do you want to get as far as going closer to God? Let me tell you, your attitude will speak a lot. I've seen folks that call themselves Christians that have got some of the stinkiest attitudes. Get up on Sunday morning. Come on, buddy, get up and sit down. Come on, get up and sit down. So I've seen some on Sunday morning, man, they sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and they act, "Oh, my goodness, I love Jesus." Then they get out at work and blah, 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 blah. Clock out. "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." Next day, clock back in. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, you really impressed the world with your mouth and attitude. You haven't impressed God either. If you think all the "how I love Jesus" on Sunday cancels out the rest of the week, you don't know God. God wants consistency in his children. When the phrase is "train up a child the way he should go," it very specifically is, I hate to use an illustration of a dog, but it's the best one I can think of. I had a dog named Precious. Precious was a Heinz 57 something about this big. I tried to teach that dog how to sit. She was hilarious. If it was on carpet, she would sit. But if the floor was cold, she wouldn't sit. I'm sitting there. I'm not making this up. But what happened one day, Faye, I was doing my thing. I was this had gone on for days and days and weeks, trying to train her, no matter what, wherever she is, sit. I was at the table chattering, and I had one of her little treats over, and I picked up the treat, and I said to her, I said, sit. And she plopped right down, cold floor and all. And I kept talking, and then one of the kids said, Dad, look at the dog. I look over, she was sitting. When did I train that dog up? When it did what I said. If your kids aren't doing what you said, they're not trained. When they're trained to do what they're told, they're trained. And for some, it takes a lifetime. And here's what God does. He's patient. But you know what? By the time we've been living for God for a while, we ought to be able to understand when God's telling us to do something. And when to start and when to stop. So our attitude is something that gets God's attention almost immediately and will bring discipline. Stinking thinking doesn't belong in the minds and hearts of God's people. Most of our issues start with our attitudes. He points out issues of attitude in here in verse 3 when he uses the term weary. And it's kind of a faint in your mind. That's a quitter's attitude, a weary attitude. I'm tired of this, God. It's a whiny attitude. Have you ever seen a toddler whine and been impressed? No. How about an adult? It ain't fair. Hey, y'all don't make fun of me. I've done that with God, haven't you? I have. I confess. I've gone to God and I've said, God, now this just isn't right. This isn't fair. And I've whined and I've complained and I've griped and I've bellyached to it. And the way God reacts many times is, he doesn't come back with a huge paragraph of answers. Sometimes he steers me to one little short verse of scripture. And it's God's way of pulling a Barney Fife on me. Nip it. Where God just says to Chip, nip it. I was working in the warehouse. My job, basically, I would order others to go make deliveries and do things like that. And we were so busy that dirty equipment was stacking up. And that's not really my position. And I had a lot of stuff to do. And it was as though God prompted me, Bud. I just felt pressure, not in a bad way, but a good way. I needed to go help clean some equipment. So I sat down, and the first piece of equipment that I picked up was a bed rail that somebody thought it was genius to scotch tape something to. It leaves all that goo. And I had to, that can't go back out. So I'm mumbling. Ron, I'm mumbling good. Oh my goodness gracious. I'm sitting white. And I picked it up and I peeled it off one side and then I turned it around and saw what was taped to the other side. Somebody had handwritten in red Sharpie on an old faded piece of paper, blessing. It was the patient's last name, evidently, I guess. But it was a message from God to Chip to shut up. This could have been your hospital bed, Chip. This could have been you. The bed came back because the person wasn't here anymore. And I was sitting there, just me. I was in the dirty equipment area, had goopy gone all over my fingers, rags around me, and I started crying. And I began to weep, and I said, God, I am so sorry. You walked to my desk today on the monitor. Guess what's up in the upper right-hand corner? Tape to the monitor. Blessing. And when I get my little attitude up, all I got to do is look up over there and God kind of reminds me, God ever done that with you? You see, our attitudes need an adjustment. You think the toddlers do, the kids do. I'm here to tell you, there's times when I do and you do as adults. To remember who He is and who we're not. To be reminded, not only our attitude brings discipline, sometimes our actions do. A failure to resist that's mentioned in here, or a failure to obey. Sin is not only the things you do, it's the things you don't do that you're supposed to do. When we don't do what God says and then brag on everything we did do, and we've left the other undone, it's not that God's not he's not ungrateful. He appreciates what you're doing, but he wants you to do what he says. Because he knows what's best. Do you know somebody else's blessing may be hanging on your obedience? And what if you don't obey? Sometimes our amnesia brings discipline. One of the number one things you hear out of junior high school kids up through high school, you'll hear this phrase, two of them really, "That's not fair." And the second one is, I forgot. I told you to take out your, I forgot. And that's supposed to clear it. My dad had the cure for my amnesia. I had a relative, he had a hat. He said, "I don't lend money because it causes amnesia." Think that one through. They forget to pay. You see, we forget his word. That's what it means. It says, you have forgotten in verse 5, the exhortation. We forget whose we are. We're his children. We forget who he is. He's Lord. In the Old Testament, there's the story of the prophet. He goes down to the potter's house. And the potter's got he's got that pedal going, and that thing is spinning there, and it's got the clay on it, and he's making it, it's spinning, spinning, he's making this pot, and all of a sudden, he stops. And he takes that string, goes underneath, and he takes the pot, and he squishes it down because it was messed up. Do you know why he gets to change it? Because he's the potter, and that's the clay. He's the potter. We're the clay. Say it with me. He is the potter. I am the clay. He is the potter. I am the clay. He gets to decide what's best for us if we'll let him. And who we're going to be. I don't want to keep holding myself up as an illustration, but I don't know how you got beat when you were a kid. Probably some of you are so wonderful you never got one. I've heard people say that. I was never spanked. Inside, the little man inside me is going, I know. They're bragging. I'm sitting there going, Yeah, you can sure tell it too. Yeah, you need to get one. You want one now? They call it assault now. Listen, our amnesia brings discipline. Our actions bring discipline. Our attitudes bring discipline. But because he loves us, his adoration for us brings discipline. Look at verses 6 through 8. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And it uses a stronger term, and it's translated scourgeth in verse 6 of the King James, every son whom he receives. If you endure discipline, God deals with you as with children, his son. For what child is it or son is he whom the father disciplines not? But if you're without it, you don't have discipline from God, you're illegitimate. You're not his. Remember this, God doesn't spank the other guy's kid. Who's the other guy? Satan. He's not going to spank Satan's kids. Have you ever wondered why some lost folks are so evil and have so much? Do wrong and seem to get rich? Seem to do what's evil and seem to get by. I don't have time, but I've told you before to go and reference it. But Psalm 37 and Psalm 73, write it down. You can remember it if you're dyslexic. 37 and 73. In both those passages, it talks about David, how frustrated he was when he looked on how sinful folks seemed to have everything going their way. As a matter of fact, in one of them, he said, "I almost backslid when I thought about how they get away with stuff." He said, "Until I went into the house of the Lord and I learned their end." In other words, this ain't it. And it ain't over yet. And God doesn't call in all his debts now. My friend, let me ask you about God's discipline on your life. Have you been disciplined lately? If you have,
because God loves you. Or, if you haven't, it's because you're just so wonderful.
Ooh.
But if you haven't ever, I'd question as to whether or not you really know the Lord. Because God wants you to know that He is in charge. He is the potter. We are the clay. He decides what to do with our lives. And it's always best if we let Him. What is the purpose of God's discipline? First of all, to teach us to respect His parenthood. In verse 9 it says, reverence. That's respect. To respect God's parenthood. That He is large and in charge. He is Lord and we are not. It teaches us to relate to His position. It says that we might be, in verse 9, in subjection. In other words, He's in charge, I'm His subject, I do what He says. When do you have a child trained? When you say it and they do it. When you and I are trained spiritually in certain areas, and I say certain areas because I don't think anybody ever really arrives till we get to heaven. Then we'll be like Jesus, the Bible says. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're going to be just like Him. How cool will that be? You never have to tell God you're sorry again when you get to heaven. How cool is that? But in the meantime, we're not in the sweet by and by, we're in the nasty now and now. And God's children need to be disciplined in order for us to respect His parenthood, relate to His position, and respond to His purposes. In verse 9, when it talks about that we might be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live, He wants to give us real life. He's not trying to keep you from doing... You ever had kids do this to you? Well, so-and-so's mom lets them go. So-and-so's mom. My mom was never impressed with that. By the way, you're just wasting your breath, kids. Especially if you say it to me or you said it to my mom, you're wasting your breath. Because you know what mama told me? I ain't raising so-and-so's kids. And I'm your mama, not their mom. And if He's your God, He may not be their God. So don't look at what they're getting away with and saying, how about this? God loves you too much to let you get away with stuff. Not because He hates you, but because He loves you. As a school principal, one of the things that I had to do was administer discipline. I only paddled a handful of kids. We found, as I've shared before, that the most effective thing to do was to call the parents in, or grandparents if they're raising, and let them do it. And the funny thing is, sometimes we had parents who had never, listen to what I'm saying, never spanked their child or grandchild, ever. And you could tell it. So we'd call them in. I literally had one mom look at me and say, how do I do this? Cha-ching. I told her. She did it. Now, the first thing that a child's going to want to do when you discipline them, most normal children, now if they just get mad at you, you didn't do enough. You didn't take. If all you do is make them mad, you make them hang in there long enough to get glad. But don't worry whether they like you or not. Here's what the child did. She turned and ran to her mama and threw her arms around, and the mom pushed her away and said, no, I'm mad at you. I said, stop, stop, stop. I said, let her come to you. She just told you she was sorry. You know what God does when you blow it? And He paddles you spiritually? He lets you come back. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you and I have blown it and we go through the process of discipline, you turn and you come back to Him and say, Father, I am so sorry. God doesn't smack you around again. He doesn't say, get out of here. You know what He does? He loves on you. I said, give her a hug. And that little one, she didn't hate her. The reason she told me she had never spanked this child is she thought the child would hate her. I said to her, we had the little child go back to the teacher, go back to the classroom after they cleaned her face up and everything, goes back to the classroom. I said, did she hate you? She goes, no. I said, that's the way it really works. The devil will lie to you and say, if God loved you, he'd let you have this and that like everybody else has, and you wouldn't have hard times, and you wouldn't have trouble. Let me tell you something. He's not raising the other guy's kids. He's raising you. And he will not put on you more than you can bear, even though he comes real, real close some days. And I want to qualify that. Sometimes he does put on more, but only enough that you'd come to him. And you say these magic words to God, it gets his attention. God, I can't handle this. God, I don't know what to do. God, I need your help. Father, forgive me. You got his ear. Train up a child. That's when you're trained in that area. When you learn to follow full cycle and come to God and say, here I am. Would you stand with me? Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brian to come and play a verse of invitation song. See, God wants us to respond to his purpose, to live for his purpose, to adopt his purity in life. It said in verse 10 that we might be partakers of his holiness, to adopt his peace in our life, that we might have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's why he disciplines us. I will share with you this. We've got some pretty hefty fellas here in the church. Strong guys. Guys that certainly in stature got me beat. Yesterday down there was a light bulb out, and I was standing on my tippy toes trying to fix it. Medford walks up, reaches up, grabs it, puts it right in. Takes care of it. Sometimes in life, I think I can handle it. Sometimes I think I can do it. And I struggle on my tippy toes. And there's somebody that can reach it real easy if I'll just give it to him. I would rather have Medford and Ronald go after me with switches they pick than to have to go around for a minute with God disciplining me. And I'll tell you why. God doesn't have to use a switch to reach where it hurts you most. He just reaches down in your heart. Sometimes it's as simple as a question. He plants in your heart like, why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? Why'd you think that? Why'd you look at that? It's not because he hates us. He's trying to help us to be who he wants us to be. So if you've gone through any kind of discipline from God, any time in the recent history, you ought to thank him for it because he loves you. And maybe today you just want to come to him and say, God, I'm so thankful I'm your child. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for disciplining me. Maybe everything's cool between you and God. You just need to come tell him that. God, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for disciplining me. You need to come. Why don't you come right now? Just tell him that. God, thank you. Maybe you're here today and God has dealt with you recently about some issue of discipline. And you want to come to him. You want to kneel down and say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be who you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go. God, I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do. If that's you, why don't you slip out, come right now, kneel, say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be who you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go. God, if that's you, come on. This is your time. Thank you for being who you are.
God, as I come before you, I thank you, Lord, that you discipline us. I don't know who this word was for today, but you do. Lord, this passage is also a passage of encouragement. It said, lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knees. If there's someone here that's been going through a tough time, God, give them strength, we pray. If it's due to discipline of any sort, God, would you just help them as they've come to you and said, oh God, please help me. Oh God, would you just help and strengthen them? Encourage them. God, whatever the need is, you know. And we're asking, Lord, that you would dismiss us from this place with your love and your patience in our lives. And God, help us to be who you want us to be. Father, school's starting up soon. Keep the kids safe, the teachers. Bless the upcoming school year, God. And I pray that you would just help us as a church to honor you and to do what pleases you. Forgive us when we fall short, Lord. Forgive us our sins, our failures. Father, we love you. Thank you. And all God's people said,
amen.
You're dismissed.